Dean Bulldog Ritchie. That story would make absolutely, will be absolutely no shock to you. Morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning. I also note with interest Laurie staunch stance on no prizes for running last, and you shouldn't be rewarded for coming last. But Lozett, you're on radio every day. That's your reward for your horses that come last.
Mm. Oh, that's a cheap shot, Bulldog.
Mm. Well, it's not a cheap shot. It's true.
Well, no, I've had some winners. I don't jump up and down if my horse loses.
You do.
I'm not cheering my horse if it loses. I'm bagging my horse when it loses.
Well, it's got to be inclusive, Laurie.
And the jockey, and the trainer, and the owner.
I'm sick of this inclusive word.
It's anyway. The word of this era, Laurie. We've got to be inclusive.
Well, tell me this, Bulldog.
Yeah.
How many winners have you backed?
What, in his life?
Yeah.
In my life?
Oh, well, just the last week. If you've had a punt the last week, how many horses would you have tipped to win?
None.
Yeah, thank you. So you join my club?
I do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you owned up to that, Bulldog, because honesty is the best policy. All right?
Really,
and
Laurie?
I like people that speak openly and honestly like you have on our program this morning.
Can we bring up the book, Laurie, or not?
Move on, Bulldog.
No, I'm interested.
Now, Laurie and I have got this book that we're going to write about Laurie's life, that's all.
The honest side or 60-40?
No, the honest side.
That's about 80-20, Clark.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of honesty,
for another time,
Bulldog.
Another day.
Speaking of honesty, buddy, what is happening with Mitchell Pearce? Is he leaving the Knights or is he staying?
Yeah, he's going to go, Clark. It was bubbling along again last night. There were just a couple of small clauses that had to be tidied up from Catalan's end. Obviously, with the time difference, these things take just a little bit more time when it's obviously France and Australia. But look, he will front the Newcastle Knights, I believe, today or tomorrow. The strong mail I'm getting out of the board is that they won't stand in his way. Clarky, look, there's absolutely no animosity there, okay?
Yeah.
But I think there's a feeling on both sides that Newcastle think maybe Pearcey should move on. Mitchell thinks his body can't handle another season. He wants to move on to a new life in France. So I think in the end it'll be mutual, it'll be clean, and despite being maligned often during his career, I think we should celebrate Mitchell Pearce's career. 19 games for New South Wales, a premiership, a grand final, multiple awards along the way, and anyone who's 91 Ks and plays 309 games of NRL is one tough cookie.
Yeah, I totally agree there, Bulldog. Is there any truth in the rumour that they were sort of seeking out Luke Brooks and seeing whether there was any interest from his camp and from the Tigers in terms of whether they would release him to go up there?
Look, it was certainly speculation that I was told about too, Laurie. So, look, you know, you make your calls and there's a lot of denials out there. Just because you get a denial in rugby league laws doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. We all know that there are plenty of fibs told out there in our game, which is fine. Every club's got their own reasons for that. To be fair to the Tigers, Owen Brooks, Laurie, this is probably the third or fourth club that Luke's been linked to. When I look at Luke Brooks, Laurie, I mean, I see a player that probably does need a change, and maybe I'm getting off the path here in terms of whether he'll go or not, because he has two more years left, so we should state that clearly at Concord, but do I reckon he could be a different player at a different club, just a different environment, maybe a couple of different voices in terms of the coaching staff. He's a very good player, Luke Brooks, but to me, he just looks absolutely primed for a player to move on and start fresh and hopefully reinvigorate his career.
Tell us about the Dragons warning the Dolphins to take their hands off the famous Red V jumper.
Yeah, I've done a story in today's paper about that, Middo. I spoke to the Dragons, their legendary prop, Craig Young, who's a board member, and their CEO, Ryan Webb. And there's, I guess, a concern inside the St. George Illawarra camp about what jumper the Dolphins will unveil. The Dolphins haven't decided yet, but let's not forget they wear the famous red and white, and of the multiple jumpers that they've used in recent years, one of those has been a red V. St George, of course, is white with the red chevron. And the Dolphins, or Redcliffe, are red with the white chevron. Extremely similar. So St George Illawarra, I've just said, look, there's one red V in town, and that's ours. And if there's any thought or consideration going into the fact you might want to use the red V, drop off straight away, because it's not going to happen. So they're going to unveil, as I understand, a heritage jumper today, because they've got a major announcement up there in Brisbane for sponsorship. So at that sponsorship announcement, they will announce, will unveil a heritage jumper. Their actual home and away strips won't be released until next year. So it will be interesting to see what they come up with. But if I'm a betting man, I think the red V, if St George Illawarra get their way, will be shelved for good.
The Dolphins are always going to be linked with players, Bulldog, because they've got, you know, a big checkbook. The latest one I'm hearing is Tino Fasu-Mawali. Do you know anything about the possible move with him from the Titans to the Dolphins?
Yeah, he wants to test himself on the open market, Lodge. Look, you're right. It's getting a little bit ridiculous. Every player out there is being linked to the Dolphins, and clearly the Dolphins have a salary cap, and they've only got 30 spots. So, you know, they can't have 74 players. But I think every player manager out there, too, is trying to beef up the price of their player by saying this, my boy will go to the Dolphins because they know there's plenty of spots available. But as for Big Tino, he's got an option in his favour to remain at the Titans for 2023, but I think he'll become up there among the hottest properties in the game. And look, of all the players, Laurie, that have been linked to the Dolphins, he's one that I think is genuine. I've said that from the start, and I've heard that from the start. So it would certainly be a crushing blow for the Titans if Big Tino did leave. And at the moment, there's no indication that he will definitely walk out the door. But I think you'll find he is one who genuinely would look at the potential to move up the road from Robina to Redcliffe.
Mm. Bulldog, what are your thoughts on this talent draft that we continually talk about? Is it a real possibility for the NRL?
Yeah, I think it's, well, it's a possibility, Clarkie. I don't think there's any substantial moves just yet to implement the draft. We spoke about it last week. Drafts on the show or the week before, and obviously the NRL has had troubles before in terms of legality. Would it work? I think it would work. Anything we can do to introduce into our game to balance up, you know, the playing rosters, well, I'm all for it. I guess the only question is, guys, and Laurie, you probably know more about this than I do, are we trying to find a competition where there's a level playing field every week? And is that possible? I mean, you go through every competition in the world and there's going to be strong teams and there's going to be weak teams. That's just the nature of sport. So are we trying to find perfection in terms of having 18, 14 scorelines every week when it's just not possible? We can seek it, but we just can't find it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point too, Bulldog. You always, no matter what competition you play in around the world, you'll always have the strong teams and you'll always have teams that are down the bottom. It's just about those bottom teams improving their sporting programs to move up the ladder as quickly as they possibly can. Now, you've still got to get your development right and you still have to get your identification right, because even though you might have first choice in a draft, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to draft the right player or the person to your football club. You know, there's a lot of things that go into making a team successful, not just only getting the best young talent, because you've got to nurture them, you've got to develop them, and you've got to spend a bit of time with them. You know, and it's always been discussed, but I'm sure, you know, the powers that be will look at ways to try and improve the competition and try and make it as fair and equitable as possible. But you're always going to have teams that'll finish at the lower end of the table, and you'll always have one or two standout teams.
You think, Laurie, we said pretty much throughout season 2021 that six teams were capable. And a lot of people are saying only six can win. But do you think six out of 16 is about 37.5%? That's not too bad. If you go to every competition in the world and you do your sums as to which teams can genuinely win a premiership, if you got to around 40% could win it, I don't think your competition's too bad. If that six suddenly becomes two or three, you might have concerns. But if you're batting at six from 16, you know, I don't think that's too bad. if you're being utterly realistic.
Yeah, the only issue I had this year, Bulldog, was the blowout score lines. Because, again, I'm a rugby league person and I love the game, but when I see a blowout and I see it early, I'm not as engaged as I should be.
I was speaking to a leading coach during the week, and I won't give him up, it was off the record. He was saying that he was dumbfounded at the criticism of the rules that were being blamed for the blowouts. He said it wasn't the rules. The semi-finals proved, again, it wasn't the rules. It was just poor defensive structures and poor rosters that were causing the blowouts. So we always like to point the finger at someone or some body, particularly around blowouts, because we don't like them. They're not good for the fans nor the broadcasts. They hate it and they pay big money for rugby league. But you know, is it the rules or was it just poor football teams?
Well, I would say it was a couple of things. I certainly think it was the interpretation that the officials were using. I think that changed as we got closer to the semi-finals. And I think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the way that they officiated. And I know a lot of people didn't.
Six again got reduced, Laurie, from about 12, 15 a game at the start of the year back to about six. So whether that was done quietly behind the scenes to try to prevent the blowout, given the NRL was under a lot of pressure. And I thought also that, you know, the 10 metres as the year went on became smaller and smaller.
But did you enjoy the way they refereed towards the back end of the year compared to what they did mid-season?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I thought Penrith were probably a little fortunate in the grand final. I thought they stood offside most of the game, but that's just nitpicking and they won the grand final and good luck to them. But that final series, Laurie, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed every game.
So did I, yeah.
Really grueling the scorelines that we expect in semi-finals.
Yeah, great.
No, I thought it was tremendous. And again, you know, I thought they refereed differently to what they did, you know, 4 weeks out from the finals. But
does
I was
that
happy.
Make it, does that make it silly in that approach, Loz, that even halfway through the season, like with the head high stuff, like they went over the top, surely. Like you then look at Origin and finals, and I agree with you. I think the footy through that period was so much better. But why did we have to go through what we did at the, you know, quarter of the way through the season with the high shots?
I think it was just an adjustment period there that they were all under pressure because they'd missed a lot of things at the start. And then the commission wanted it cleaned up. So they were going out there and finding penalties that you look at and go, oh, really? Did you want to penalise someone for that? And then as we got closer to the finals, they allowed themselves some latitude, you know.
I think they found the balance.
Yeah, I really do. Okay. And, you know, in semi-finals, some players were lying down for penalties and they weren't getting them. The bunker wasn't getting involved, which was a blessing in disguise as well.
Agree.
So I hope they've learnt and gone, that's, you know, yes, we can fix it up a little bit more, you know, in terms of being offside in defence, and that may be, it may come around if they look at going back to two referees, but I actually thought they started to come to terms with how the game should be refereed.
Bulldog, before you go, what are the potential player signings, and I guess a lot of this revolves around the Dolphins, that we should be keeping our eye on in the next few days. So I see the Courier Mail has listed that Pat Carrigan's rejected an offer from the Broncos, an upgrade there. Regan Campbell-Gillard's been named. What players in particular are you looking at, and what's a move you'd love to see occur in regards to you know, where a player could end up?
I'll tell you a move that Parramatta fans wouldn't love to see, Mido, and that's Regan Campbell-Gillard was first, as you've just mentioned, but reports the last 24 hours about Junior Paulo, both those players perhaps looking to test themselves on the open market. Yet again, both have been linked to the Dolphins. Campbell-Gillard, he is pursuing a deal for 2023, of course, when the Dolphins come in. He's got a player option his way. These player options, though, Loz, I don't know about them in contracts. I mean, it can be club or player-related options, but you know, I don't particularly like them, but I guess it's the world we live in. But looks like Campbell-Gillard will take up that option to throw himself onto the open market, and also Junior Paulo's manager saying that he will throw himself onto the open market from November 1. Guys, that's only next week, so there's going to be a bit of movement next week as to who's chasing whom, Come November 1, there's going to be a lot of players out there, more so than ever, I think, because of the Dolphins, that are on the open market as such. They're under contract for next year. But come 2023, there's going to be a lot of shifting around, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either, Bulldog. But again, if you're desperate and you need to keep that player, you get a year or two to try and continually work on them to convince them to stay in your footy program. But the option has to be both ways rather than having it. Yeah, if I'm a player, I want it in my favour. But if I'm a club, I want it in my favour so I can make the decision on whether I keep you or not. But I can understand why players would push for it because it gives them that guarantee of if they don't have a successful season the year they're coming off contract, they've got that option up their sleeve to stay at that club and prove their worth somewhere else for another 12 months rather than, you know, losing out by going to another club on less money.
Laurie, do you like the fact there's just so much movement? You go back 20 years, and I don't want to live in the past, there wasn't that much movement. But these days, the movement between clubs of players is, it's unbelievable. And it's the nature of the beast, and the players have got to do their best. I get that. They've only got a 10, 12-year period. So go and earn what you can. But just moving year after year, sometimes month after month, clubs playing in 2-3 different clubs in a year, I don't know. There's just something about it that doesn't sit well with me. I've got to live with it. It won't stop now, but it doesn't mean it doesn't leave a taste in your mouth. And certainly in terms of some of the fans, when it's just this revolving door at your club, in, out, all day, every day, every year, I don't know. There's just something about it that I don't particularly like. Yeah. I know it's an old saying about loyalty. It's long gone. The players have to do their best. It goes both ways too, don't forget. Not just the players. Clubs can get rid of players very, very quickly, but there's just something there that I don't particularly like. And you look back to your mob, Loz, the Raiders, you know, you stuck together solid through everything, and that's just what it was back then.
Yeah, I've got no issue. I think it's just the world we live in today. People move on pretty quickly, and you know, the players are doing the right thing by themselves. I think fans, they get disappointed when they get an attachment to a certain player at their club and they see them leaving, but I think it's just the world we live in. We've got to get used to it, and that's the environment.
Bulldog.
Hey, before I go, Mido, went up to Forestville Shops yesterday and saw our man, R. Slater, reading the paper.
On his own?
He's got these, yeah, of course. Mm. He's got no friends.
Right.
He's got these new glasses, but the bifocals are massive. You look like one of the proclaimers.
So they're not Coke bottles, just huge frames, he's saying.
No, they were like Coke bottles.
Oh, right, okay, they were.
You know when they look up at you and they sort of, you can't see where their eyeballs are looking?
Right, yeah. Was he surprised that you saw him, or did he, what was the reaction?
Well, I actually took a pap photo on my phone, threatened to put it on the Big Sports Breakfast website, and he claimed he was going to sue me.
Right.
Well, as you do.
Yeah. Now, were you brave enough to mention how bad they looked, or are you one of these people that said, no, Robbie, they look tremendous, they look beautiful, they suit you, and then you walked away and you bagged him?
No, I said it straight. They look embarrassing.
Oh, right, yeah. Geez, that's something different.
When you get him on the show, ask him about his glasses, because seriously, they look like those ones in Seinfeld, you know, when George bought the women's got framed.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm sure he'll have a response, Doggy.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Hope he doesn't run last in the Melbourne Cup sweep. Because he won't be getting anything either.
He wouldn't know how to read the form guide, Mitter.
Oh, that's a great way to finish. Thank you, Bulldog.
Thanks, boys.